June 12th, the Venerable Onuphrius the Great. For 60 full years this saintly hermit had lived in the desert when the monk Paphnutius visited him. His hair and beard reached to the ground, and his body, due to a long period of nakedness, was covered with long hair. All the hairs on him were as white as snow, and his entire appearance glistened. Sublime and awesome, seeing Paphnutius, Onuphrius called him by name and related to him his life in the wilderness. His guardian angel appeared to him and brought him to this place in the wilderness. For a long time he fed only on vegetables, which could rarely be found in the wilderness, and after that, when he endured violent combat by the temptations of the demons, and when his heart was completely strengthened in the love of God, an angel of God brought him bread for nourishment. Besides that, by the good providence of God, a palm tree grew next to his cell, which brought forth an abundant fruit of dates, and a spring of living water began to flow there. However, Onuphrius said, "I mostly feed and quench my thirst on the sweet words of God." To Paphnutius's question, "How do you receive communion?" the hermit answered that an angel of God brings him Holy Communion every Saturday and communicates him. The next day the elders said to Paphnutius that this is the day of his departure from this world. He knelt on his knees, prayed to God, and gave up his spirit to God. At that moment, Paphnutius saw a heavenly light as it illumined the body of the deceased saint and heard the singing of angelic hosts. Having honorably buried the body of Onuphrius, Paphnutius returned to his monastery that, as a living witness, he narrate to others, for their benefit, the wondrous life of this man and the greatness of God's providence about those who have completely given themselves over to the service of God. Onuphrius died in the year 400 AD. Venerable Peter the Athenite. Peter was a Greek by birth and a soldier by profession. Once in battle against the Arabs, Peter was captured, bound by chains, and cast into prison. Peter remained imprisoned a long time in the town of Samara on the Euphrates River, and he constantly prayed that God free him from prison and take him to some wilderness where he would dedicate himself completely to a life of prayer and asceticism. Saint Simeon, the receiver of God, with Saint Nicholas, appeared to him in prison, touched his iron chains with his staff, and they melted like wax, and Peter suddenly found himself in a field outside the town. He immediately set out for Rome, where he was tonsured a monk by the Pope himself at the tomb of Saint Peter. After this, he again departed by boat for the East. The all-holy birth-giver of God, along with Saint Nicholas, appeared to him in a dream, and the birth-giver of God said to Saint Nicholas that she designated Mount Athos for a life of asceticism to Peter. Up to this time, Peter had never heard of the holy Mount Athos. Disembarking, therefore, on the holy mountain, Peter settled in a cave where he remained for 53 years in difficult mortifications, in a struggle with hunger and thirst, with heat and cold, and mostly with the powers of the demons, until he overcame all with the help of God. After he endured the first temptations and successfully passed the first difficult tests before God, an angel of God began to bring him bread every 40 days. On several occasions, the tempting devil appeared to him under the guise of an angel of light, but Peter repelled him with the sign of the cross and the name of the all-holy birth-giver of God. About a year before his death, he was discovered by a deer hunter around Athos, and from the mouth of the saint heard his life story. He died in the year 734 AD. His relics were translated to Macedonia. Venerable Timothy, the Egyptian hermit. Timothy first lived a life of asceticism in the Thebaid, and then withdrew into the wilderness, where he lived for 30 years. Pleasing God, he died peacefully. The Venerable Bassian and Jonah. Bassian and Jonah were monks of the Solovets monastery. They drowned and were washed ashore in the year 1651 AD. Over their graves a sign appeared, and because of that a church was built. Later on, Petrominsk Monastery was established there. Once when Emperor Peter the Great was saved from a tempest, he remained there for 3 days and made a cross and implanted it on the shore. Hymn of Praise, Saint Peter of Athos.
Saint Peter, in the awesome wilderness, of all earthly riches deprived, and the rich illusions of the devil, through tearful prayers overcame all. The heart he harnessed and to God raised it, the mind he straightened and to heaven uplifted it. Immobile as a rock among the cliffs, wearied by hunger and all-night vigils, directed himself toward every good, as bodiless in an earthly body, on Mount Athos, half a century, in prayer speaks only with God. From age he turned as white as snow, neither man he saw, neither wanted he to. To him God revealed the window of heaven. Countless miracles Peter saw, the Mother of God, God's angels, and the all-wonderful saints of God. To him the Lord an angel sent, to him gave holy communion from heaven, until a spiritual giant Peter of himself created, as a certain city on a high mountain, to be a teacher throughout the ages, to the holy monks a wonderful example.
Reflection. Great and wonderful is the mystery, sacrament of Holy Communion. Even the anchorites, recluses, and hermits crave for nothing else as much as to be given the possibility to receive Holy Communion. Saint Mary the Egyptian begged Saint Zosimus to bring her the Holy Mystery on the Jordan and to communicate her. Returning from visiting Saint Onuphrius, Venerable Paphnutius found a humble community of four young ascetics in the desert. When Paphnutius asked them whether and how do you receive Holy Communion, they replied that an angel of God visits them every Saturday and Sunday and administers them Holy Communion. Paphnutius remained until the first following Saturday and was personally convinced. When Saturday dawned, the entire community was filled with an indescribable, wonderful fragrance, and while they were at prayer, an angel of God in the form of a handsome young man, as bright as lightning, appeared with the all-pure mysteries. Paphnutius became frightened and out of fear fell to the ground, but they raised him up and brought him to the angel that he, along with them, receive communion from the hand of the angel. According to his own testimony, Saint Onuphrius received Holy Communion from the hand of an angel, as did many other anchorites and hermits. Therefore, it is completely erroneous to think that solitaries and hermits did not receive Holy Communion. God, who provided for their bodily nourishment, did not leave them without the life-giving nourishment of the body and blood of Christ the Lord. Contemplation. To contemplate the miraculous multiplying of the bread in the wilderness. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is not past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." St. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. How the Lord fed 5,000 people with the 5 blessed loaves. How he is that living bread who alone can miraculously feed my hungry soul, which the whole of the rest of the world together cannot feed. Homily, about the palace and the hut. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the hut of the righteous shall flourish. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 11. The palace of Herod lay in ruins, and the cave of the child of Bethlehem remains. The crowns of the Caesars have been lost, but the bones of the martyrs have been preserved. The palaces of the pagan kings have been transformed into piles of stone and dust, but the caves of the ascetics have grown into most beautiful churches. The golden idols have been scattered into nothing, and the chains of the Apostle Peter are preserved as a holy relic. The powerful Roman Empire is now only a tale of the dead, while the hut of Christianity, the Holy Church, is today the most powerful empire in the world. Where are the Jews, the murderers of God? They are dispersed throughout the world. Where are the powerful Romans? In the grave. Where is the power of bloody Nero? Where is the power of the evil Diocletian and the depraved Maximian? Where is the success of Julian the Apostate? Where are those high towers? They are where the Tower of Babel is, beneath the dust and ashes, beneath shame and damnation. Go about your own city and inquire how many homes of the godless are excavated, how many huts of the righteous grew into beautiful houses. Brethren, heaven and earth are founded on justice, on God's steadfast justice. That is why even pagan creation is as arrogant air bubbles, which burst and are trampled on by passers-by. The palaces of the Pharaohs and Babylonians are as trampled bubbles, and the tent of the righteous Abraham flourishes and blossoms in eternity. O my brethren, how all-powerful and long-lasting is justice, and how rumbling and transient is injustice, like a storm on a summer's day. O righteous Lord, how magnificent and consistent are you in the exercising of your justice. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.